This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Good to go. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala abdillahi wa rasulih nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Okay, are we ready to start now? Okay, alhamdulillah. I do apologize for the late start. We had some issues setting up today. We were a little bit later than we were expecting to be. But alhamdulillah, we can resume with our chapter on Zakatul Fitr. And we reach the hadith, or the wording of the hadith, Wal ibn Adiyyin wa Darqutni bi isnadin da'if. Aghnuhum anit tawaf fi hadha al-yawm. Aghnuhum عن الطواف في هذا اليوم. This is part of the reason behind Zakatul Fitr. When is Zakatul Fitr paid? Who can remember what we said last week? What did we say last week about Zakatul Fitr? When is that paid? Nobody remembers? MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, we have someone who remembers, Allah bless you. Before Salat Al-Eid. So a poor person on Eid day, what do we want to protect them from? We want to protect them from At-Tawaf. What does At-Tawaf mean? Going around the houses. Going around from house to house and begging. And saying, please, it's Eid day. Can I have some money? Please today, can I have some money? Please today, can I have some food? Instead of them begging around the houses on Eid, when Eid is supposed to be a day of what? Celebration. So instead of having that day of being a day of begging, we stop them from begging. How do we stop them from begging on Eid? By giving Zakatul Fitr. So one of the maqasid, the purposes behind Zakatul Fitr is that the poor people don't need to beg on the day of Eid. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال كنا نعطيها في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صاعا من طعام أو صاعا من تمر أو صاعا من شعير أو صاعا من زبيب متفق عليه وفي رواية أو صاعا من أقط. قال أبو سعيد أما أنا فلا أزال أخرجه كما كنت أخرجه في زمن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولأبي داود لا أخرج أبدا إلا صاعا. This hadith is narrated by, or the wording that we had is narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and it's from Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri. He said, we used to give it in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a sa' of ta'am. A sa' of ta'am. And here the word ta'am, it can mean any kind of grains. Why, what do we benefit from this hadith? What is the benefit of knowing that it can be any kind of grain? What's the benefit of knowing that it can be any kind of grain or any kind of storable food? What's that going to help us? In our first hadith, we only had tamar or sha'ir. We only had dates or barley. Sahih, in our first hadith, we only had dates or barley. So maybe if someone read that first hadith, what might they think? They might think that zakatul fitr has to be paid in dates or barley. No choice. They might think that it has to be in dates or barley. This hadith tells us that zakatul fitr is not limited to dates or barley. It's not limited to dates or barley. Rather, dates, barley, grains, raisins are all mentioned in this hadith. So what's mentioned in this hadith? Ta'am. What is ta'am? Ta'am in this meaning is dried food or dried grains, or tamar, dates, or sha'ir, barley, or zabib. Zabib is raisins. So this tells us that zakatul fitr can be given from any kind of storable food, as long as we had said two things. What does it have to be? Is anyone awake on YouTube? No? Okay. What did we say it has to be? We said it has to be storable and it has to be suitable to live from. It has to be staple food. It has to be, you have to be able to live from it. So if I gave someone a sa' of chili powder, would it be accepted? Some people love chili. What if I gave a sa' of chili powder, would it be accepted? Why not? It's storable. You can store chili powder for ages. Because you don't live off it. You can't live off it. You can enjoy a bit on your food, but you can't live off of it. Okay, what about if I gave someone a sa' of milk? What if I gave someone a sa' of milk? Why is it no good? Why not? Okay, here, but it says sa' min ta'am, aw sa' min zabib, aw sa' min aqit. So we have a lot of options here. We said the hadith encompasses all ta'am. Why can't I give a sa' of milk? It's not storable. La yuddakhar. You can't store it. So why is that a problem? Why do we worry about iddikhar, that it's storable? Because if we give something that's not storable, what might happen to the food? What might happen to it? I give a poor person a sa' of milk. Why might it not be good? What might happen to it? Goes bad. It expires, yeah? It goes out of date. Yeah, so you want something that is storable. It doesn't go out of date. And something which is, you can live off it. You can live off it, a staple food. Someone might say, what about raisins? Can you live off raisins? Anybody tried living off raisins? Yes, in the old days, they used to, raisins were considered to be a staple food, quot. People used to live off raisins. So yes, raisins, dates, grains, sha'ir. What about wheat? Wheat. What about lentils? What about lentils? What do you think? Yeah, lentils are storable. They can store for a long time. And they can be a staple food. What about nuts? Yeah. Yeah, you can store them for a long time. And they are, you can staple food. You can live off of them. Okay. What is it best to give? Let's see. What is it best to give? What do we think is the best thing that you can give? Tamar, sha'ir. What's the best thing to give? Rice. What's the best thing to give? We said rice. The best thing to give is, what's the principle in zakah? What's the best for the faqir? So the best thing is whatever is best for the poor person. And what is best for the poor person is whatever is the food that they really need according to the place that they are. Like for example, in the UK today, if you gave someone a sa' of raisins today in the UK, if you gave somebody a sa' of raisins, which would be more beneficial? A sa' of rice or a sa' of raisins? In the UK today, rice. Because people are more likely to benefit from rice than raisins. Raisins are not really a quote in the UK. Like we don't really live off of it. So what we want is, we want quote al-balad. We want the food which is the standard food that people eat in the country. But what are the examples in this hadith? Ta'am, any sort of dried food. Tamar, dates. Sha'ir, barley. Zabib, raisins. Awsa'im min aqid. This hadith is narrated, this is in a wording. Or a sa' of aqit. Aqit, I've seen it translated different ways. I've seen it translated as cheese. And I've seen it translated as sun-dried yogurt. But in any case, it is a dairy product that is dried in the sun. Okay, that's a very good question, but we shouldn't use the word English. We should use the word Muslim or non-Muslim. I know what you mean, but like for example, I'm English, right? But I'm Muslim, right? So you, instead of using the nationality, let's use, does it count if you give a non-Muslim? No, you have to give it to a Muslim. Okay? You can be English Muslim, non-English Muslim, but it has to be Muslim. Does that make sense? Okay. So we said that a dry kind of dairy product. Abu Sa'id, he said, as for me, I have continued to give it out as I used to give it in the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abu Dawud narrated, I will never give it anything except a sa'. Okay, what does this tell us? I will never give anything except a sa'. You can give more than that. That's not the problem. You can give more. There's no issue with giving more. But what does it tell us? What is this hadith used as evidence for? Prophet ﷺ gave a sa'. Okay, good. It's used as evidence that you can't give it in cash. Does that make sense? Because a person can say, why am I bothering with giving this sa'? I'm going to go and take money and I'm going to go and buy rice and then I'm going to give the rice. Why don't I just give the money? Sah? Couldn't somebody say that? Isn't it possible somebody could say such a thing? They could say, look, I'm going to take £5 and I'm going to buy rice. Instead of taking £5 and buying rice, why don't I just take £5 and give it to the poor person and let them buy their own rice? The hadith says it has to be a sa', it has to be given as a sa', so it can't be given in, it can't be given in cash. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال فرض رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم زكاة الفطر طهرة للصائم من اللغو والرفث وطعمة للمساكين فمن أداها قبل الصلاة فهي زكاة مقبولة ومن أداها بعد الصلاة فهي صدقة من الصدقات رواه أبو داود وابن ماجه وصححه الحاكم. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma narrated, Farada Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made obligatory zakatul fitr. Tuhratan lissa'im. Why is zakatul fitr made obligatory? Tuhratan lissa'im min al-laghwi wal-rafath. It stops the fasting person, it purifies them from al-laghwi wal-rafath. What is the meaning of al-laghwi wal-rafath? Al-laghw is all kind of useless speech. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal called music laghw in the Quran. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. All kind of senseless, wasteful speech. And al-rafath here, because al-rafath has two meanings in as it relates to fasting here. Al-rafath is bad words, bad speech. And al-rafath is also intimacy. But intimacy is not the topic here, because intimacy cannot be relieved. Intimacy in Ramadan can't be wiped out by zakatul fitr. So rafath here refers to al-kalam, the speech that is rude and obscene. Kalam al-fahish, like the really bad words and bad things. So what is the purpose then of zakatul fitr? The first purpose, what did we say earlier on? Is the purpose for zakatul fitr? We said the purpose for zakatul fitr was أغنوهم عن الطواف. Don't make them beg. Don't let people beg on Eid day. Don't make people beg. The second one is تهرةً للصائم من اللغو والرفث. All the silly things you said during the day, bad words, maybe you got angry, maybe you said some things you shouldn't have said. Doesn't that happen to people when they're fasting? Someone says, for example, during the day in Ramadan, I got angry with somebody. During the day in Ramadan, I got angry. And when I got angry during the day in Ramadan, I started to shout at the person, is my fast accepted? Nisha says, no. Yeah, your fast is accepted, but you need to purify it. You need to clean your fast. You need to make it right. How do you make it right? Zakatul fitr is one of the ways that you make it right. Obviously you make tawbah and istighfar. And one of the ways you make things right is with zakat al-fitr. Okay. Now we come to the second part of the hadith. فَمَنْ أَدَّاهَا قَبْلَ الصَّلَاةِ فَهِيَ زَكَاةٌ مَقْبُولَةٌ وَمَنْ أَدَّاهَا بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ فَهِيَ صَدَقَةٌ مِنَ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Whoever gives it before the salah, their zakah is accepted. And whoever gives it after the salah, then it is a sadaqah مِنَ الصَّدَقَاتِ. It's just a charity. So this leads us to a question. when is it obligatory to pay Zakat al-Fitr? And we covered this last time. When is it obligatory to pay Zakat al-Fitr? What did we say last time? It has to be before the Eid Salah, right? It has to be before the Eid Salah by a day or 2 days is the earliest you can pay. And the latest you can pay is before the Salah. Yeah? Someone who got angry and the Zakat al-Fitr is not wajib upon them. They cleanse it, inshallah, with tawbah, with repentance. So, they have to pay it before the Salah, right? Okay. If they pay it after the Salah, what happens? The Prophet ﷺ said, فَهِيَ صَدَقَةٌ مِّنَ الصَّدَقَاتِ. It's a charity. Does that mean they're sinful or not sinful? This is my question. Do you understand the question? Someone pays zakah after the prayer. Are they sinful or not? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, فَهِيَ صَدَقَةٌ مِّنَ الصَّدَقَاتِ. It's a charity for them. It's a charity for them. Are they sinful or not? They say no? Okay. One person says yes, one person says no. اختلف العلماء. The scholars differed. What about the word farada? The Prophet ﷺ said you have to do it. He said fard upon you. Farada. Rasulullah farada. It's obligatory for you. So if you don't do something which is fard, you are sinful. You are sinful. If you don't do something which is fard, then you are sinful. But you will still get the reward of giving sadaqah. You'll still get the reward of the sadaqah that you gave, so you won't lose it completely. I think that is most of what we wanted to talk about on the topic of Zakat al-Fitr. So we're going to go into our next chapter now, and our next chapter is Babu Sadaqati Tatawwu', the chapter of voluntary charity. We have a beautiful hadith. We have a really nice hadith. Everybody has to listen to it very carefully. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال سبعة يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله. فذكر الحديث وفيه ورجل تصدق بصدقة فأخفاها حتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه متفق عليه. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه. He narrated from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Seven, Allah will cover them with His shade on the day when there is no shade except His. يوم القيامة. Allah Azza wa Jal, on the day of Qiyamah, we are told that Allah will bring the sun near to the distance of a mile. And there are some people who will be in sweat up to their ankles, and some people who will be in sweat up to their knees, and some people who will be in sweat up to their waist. And there will be some people who يُلْجِمُهُمُ الْعَرَقُ إِلْجَامَ. They're going to be completely covered, muzzled. You know, like your face mask you're all wearing now. Muzzled by their sweat because of the closeness of the sun. On that day, and we talked about it in the khutbah, and if anyone wants to revise, they can go back to the khutbah, which was last week, last Friday's khutbah, What did we say in last Friday's khutbah? That someone will be in the shade. كُلُّ مْرِئٍ فِي ظِلِّ صَدَقَاتِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُفْصَلَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَوْ قَالَ حَتَّى يُحْكَمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Everyone will be in the shade of their charity يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Seven types of people. سَبَعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. Seven people. Does it mean seven individuals? What do you think? It means seven people, right? Yani 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yani sab'atu ashkhas. Seven people who will be shaded on that day. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. No, it doesn't mean seven people. It means seven types of people. Sab'atu asnaf, or seven types of people, or seven groups of people, not seven people. سَبَعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah will make shade for them. يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. On the day when there is no shade except Allah's shade. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar doesn't mention the hadith of the seven. He only mentions one of them. So can we remind ourselves? Let's cover the one he mentioned. He said, وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا. A man who gave a charity and concealed it. حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمَ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُ. Until his left hand didn't know what his right hand gave. Before we talk about the other seven, I have a question. This question is important. Why did Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar bring this hadith here in the chapter of voluntary charity? Why? What is this hadith? What is the connection between this hadith and between voluntary charity? There's more than one connection you can give. What's the connection between this hadith and between Babu Sadaqati Tatawwu'? What's the link between the two of them? Do you have any answers from the people who are watching? What's the link between this hadith, سَبَعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ, and between the chapter, voluntary charity? To highlight sincerity when giving charity. Okay, I like that. That's good. That's not bad. That's one answer. To highlight the... To highlight sincerity when giving charity. This man is so hides their charity so much. They hide their charity so much that their left hand doesn't know what the right hand gives. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand gives. This is mubalagha. This is exaggerating on the topic of ikhfa'ul amal, keeping your deed secret. And I'm going to tell you something very important. One of the best ways you can achieve sincerity in anything is to hide it. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, if they could hide a deed, they would hide it. Which deeds can you not hide? Which deeds can you not hide? Hajj, for example. Salat in the jama'ah. Siyam you can hide. Nobody really knows you're fasting, right? I mean, you can't hide it by pretending to eat, but I mean, nobody really knows whether you're fasting or not. Hajj, you can't really hide it. Jihad, you can't hide. You can't hide praying in the jama'ah. But whatever you can hide, you should hide. So someone asked the question, the sunnah prayer, where should I pray the sunnah prayer? If you can pray it at home, pray it at home. Why? Because the principle is ikhfa'ul amal, hide your deeds as much as you can. But if you can't pray it at home, because there's no time, maybe for example, you come at Maghrib, you can't reach home before Isha. Someone came at Maghrib, he's sitting in the masjid until Isha, he can't pray. So he can pray, no problem. The issue is hiding as much as you can. And hiding it to such an extent that even your left hand doesn't know what your right hand gave. This hadith, in some of its wordings, has qalb. It's given an example of al-hadith al-maqloob. Because in some of the narrations it says, حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمَ يَمِينُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ شِمَالُهُ. His right hand doesn't know what his left hand gave. What happened in that hadith? His right hand doesn't know what his left hand gave. What happened? His right hand doesn't know what his left hand gave. What happened? His right hand doesn't know what his left hand gave. What happened? No, this his right hand doesn't know his left hand gave. No. His right hand doesn't know what his left hand gave. Do you give with your left hand?
No.
Maqloob. It got turned the wrong way around. One of the narrators turned the hadith the wrong way around. The correct wording of the hadith is حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمَ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُهُ. His left hand doesn't know what his right hand gave. So this is an example of al-maqloob, an example of a hadith which is some of the words got mixed up the wrong way around. But this wording is correct. So that the left hand doesn't know what the right hand gave. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand gave. What else can we benefit from this in the chapter of voluntary charity? Can we say that the hadith feel hath ala sadaqah or ala al-ikthar min al-sadaqah? The hadith contains encouragement to give lots of extra charity. Remember, this is a book of fiqh. It's not a book of fada'ilul a'mal. It's not a book of virtues of good deeds. It's not there to just make you feel good about sadaqah. That you'll find in Riyadh al-Salihin. This is here for a fiqhi reason. And the fiqh reason you can take from it is the importance of giving a lot of voluntary sadaqah or istihbab. If we want to use fiqh word, let's say istihbab al-ikthar min al-sadaqah. That giving lots of sadaqah is something which is mustahab. Because it's going to shade you. سَبَعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. What about the other seven? Can we remember them? Who can remember some of them? Yeah, dude. That's why I'm asking a lot of questions, because they're sleeping today. Wallahi. Okay, from the people here, who can remember some of the seven people that Allah will shade them on a day when there's no shade except His? Let's bring the first one. Yeah, anyone is included. Muftuh. Okay, so we do one, and then we'll give them a chance, yeah? The first was Imamun Adil, a just ruler. A just ruler. And we've already got one here. وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا. A person who gave sadaqah and concealed it. Where are we now? Okay, a person who was invited to commit adultery or fornication by a woman of beauty and position, فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. And he said, I fear Allah. We've got three now. Okay, two people who love each other for the sake of Allah, they meet for that and they part for that. How many did we get now? Four? Five? Ah, here we are. A person whose heart is attached to the masjid. Did that one come on YouTube? The person whose heart is attached to the masjid. Okay, so now did we have, how many did we have? And وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَهُ. And a man who remembered Allah when he was alone and his eyes shed tears. Did we get all of them? Okay. Why did Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar summarize the hadith then? Why did he not mention all seven? Why did he only mention one? What do you think? What chapter are we in? The chapter of Sadaqah At-Tatawwu', voluntary charity. So clearly this hadith is related to charity. So he, what we say, ikhtasara ala shahid. He just mentioned the one that relates to the topic, which was وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا. A man who gave sadaqah and he concealed it. حَتَّى لَتَعْلَمَ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُهُ. Excellent. This is our first hadith. Our second hadith is the hadith of Uqbah ibn Amir رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول كل امرئ في ظل صدقته حتى يفصل بين الناس. In a riwayah, حتى يحكم بين الناس. He said, I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم say, everyone will be in the shade of their charity until the judgment between the people is finished. Everyone will be in the shade of their sadaqat. The word sadaqah here, what kind of sadaqah is it? كُلُّ مْرِئٍ فِي ظِلِّ صَدَقَتِهِ. What kind of sadaqah is it? Is it zakah or is it voluntary sadaqah here? What do they think? Who are the people watching? What do they think? The sadaqah here, you're going to be in the shade of your sadaqah. Is it zakah or is it voluntary sadaqah? Someone said voluntary sadaqah. Who was listening to the khutbah last week? Who was paying attention to the khutbah last week? Didn't we say it's both, huh? Because here, it doesn't specify. The word sadaqah here is general. It covers your zakah and it covers your voluntary sadaqah. Everyone will be in the shade of their sadaqah. Yawm al-qiyamah. Also, from the benefits we can take from this is your voluntary sadaqah makes up for the shortcomings in your zakah. That doesn't mean that you're excused from zakah, that you can mess up your zakah or not give the right amount of money. But if you made a mistake in it, just like if you made a mistake in your prayer by accident, what makes up for your prayers? Your voluntary prayers. So if you made a mistake in your zakah, then your voluntary sadaqah, then your voluntary sadaqah will make up for it. Our next hadith, عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أيما مسلم كسى مسلما ثوبا على عري كساه الله من خضر الجنة وأيما مسلم أطعم مسلما على جوع أطعمه الله من ثمار الجنة وأيما مسلم سقى مسلما على ظمأ سقاه الله من الرحيق المختوم رواه أبو داود وفي إسناده لين. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if any Muslim clothes another Muslim when he is naked, Allah will clothe him with some of the garments of paradise. And if a Muslim feeds a Muslim when he's hungry, Allah will feed him from the fruits of paradise. And if a Muslim gives a Muslim to drink when he is thirsty, Allah will give him a drink from al-rahiq al-makhtoom, from the sealed nectar. This is narrated by Abu Dawood. وَفِي إِسْنَادِهِ لِينَ. It has a weakness in its chain of narration. This hadith has a weakness in it, so it's not an authentic hadith. However, why do we think Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar included this hadith here? He has many hadith on the virtue of sadaqah, so why this hadith? Why mention this hadith? What's the benefit? Can we say that the benefit of this hadith is to talk about some of the types of sadaqah? Clothing the person who doesn't have clothes, feeding the person who doesn't have any food, and giving water to a person who is thirsty. We can also say, and this is something we talked about in the tafsir. Do you remember when we talked about tafsir of Surah Bayyinah? Not Surah Bayyinah. The tafsir of Surah Al-Balad. And we were talking about the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَلَقَتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْعَقَبَ فَكُّ رَقَبَ أَوْ إِطْعَامٌ فِي يَوْمٍ ذِي مَسْغَبَةٍ. We said that this talks about when do you give certain types of charity. In other words, if you see a Muslim that doesn't have clothes, do you give him a sa' of dates? This is sadaqah, but it's better that you give him what he needs, right? He needs clothing, you give him clothing. You see him in a state of hunger, it's better that you give him food than you to give him clothes. And wallah, this is from min fiqh sadaqat, from the fiqh of sadaqah. We mentioned this fiqh of sadaqah. We mentioned it in the tafsir of Surah Al-Balad on the fiqh of sadaqah. That sometimes people don't have this fiqh. Sometimes people don't maybe understand this particular issue very well, and maybe they get themselves confused. Like for example, it's many times someone will come to you and you see that person, let's say has, you know, they say like, oh, I'm hungry, I don't have any food, can you give me some money for food? صح? And sometimes you think if you give them money, he's going to go and buy cigarettes, he's going to go and buy alcohol, he's going to go and buy whatever. You know, even from the non-Muslims, you people come to you. It's so important to have a fiqh understanding when you give somebody sadaqah. That am I actually helping this person, or am I maybe actually making the situation worse? Tayyib, this brings the issue out though. What do you do if the person is deserving of zakah, but you think that the person is going to misuse their zakah? So let's say there's a brother or a sister and they have a problem with gambling. And they need, they're poor people, they can't pay their rent, they need zakah. We have to give them the money, but we think they're going to take the money and gamble the money. So how do we fix this problem? We still have to give them money, right? So how can we do it? Okay, but we have to give them the money because the money is their haq. So can we combine? You're right, we can combine between the two. What we do is we can give them the money, but we put it in a trust with someone that they can't just go and waste it. We say, look, this is your money. Like Allah Azza wa Jal told us, وَلَا تُصُفَهَا أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. Don't give the people who are going to waste the money that Allah has made a means for your sustenance. Okay, Jamie. We'll take one more hadith and then we're going to bring it to a conclusion, inshallah. The hadith that we have is the hadith of Hakim ibn Hizam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, anin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, annahu qal, al-yadul ulya khayrun min al-yadis sufla, wabda' biman ta'ul. وخير الصدقة ما كان عَنْ ظَهْرِ غِنَى وَمَنْ يَسْتَعْفِفْ يُعَفَّهُ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ يَسْتَغْنِ يُغْنِهِ اللَّهُ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ وَاللَّفْظُ لِلْبُخَارِي. Hakim ibn Hizam, he narrated, the Prophet ﷺ said, the upper hand is better than the lower hand. This is a principle, right? We can take this principle and we can make this principle a rule that we follow. اليد العليا خير من اليد السفلى. Just leave it, it's okay. Leave it, Mu'adh, Mu'adh. The upper hand is better than the lower hand. What does it mean the upper hand is better than the lower hand? Giving is better than asking. So you always want to be someone who is giving and not someone who is asking. We did the tafsir of a surah. Do you remember where we mentioned this? In which surah in Juz Amma did we mention this? In Surah Al-Layl. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجَزَى. You don't want to have someone that has a ni'mah over you. Someone who did, you know, people, you know, there are two types of people. There are people who usually they are the one who are giving, and people usually they are the one who are taking. Now, yes, any situation can happen to anybody. You can get yourself in a situation where you have no choice. But generally speaking, there are people who their habit is to give. And I don't just mean money. I mean their time, I mean their attention, I mean anything, but they are people who are, they are benefiting people more than people are benefiting them. And there are some people that their habit is always to take. Always. Now, I'm not saying somebody is poor, somebody is poor, what can they do? You cannot change the reality of their situation. But the mentality is what? The mentality is that I want to be someone who is giving more than I am. Someone whose habit is to take all the time. And wallah, I know people who are very poor. Poor people, wallah, they don't have much money. But wallah, I feel like they benefited us many more times than what we benefited them. There are people who they're always willing to help out, always willing to do something. And you feel like, wallah, like if somebody gave them something, it doesn't equate to what they did for them. Because they're always trying to be the one who is giving. That's the mentality, the mindset is, I want to be the one giving, I don't want to be the one who is taking. And a lot of people, wallahi, it's sad when you go to countries and you see like systemized begging. You know, like it never used to exist before. Like people used to beg because they had no choice. Now people beg as a job. You know, it's become a job for people. And it's become a criminal enterprise with big gangs. And you know, it used to be that the last thing somebody will do is beg. Wallah, they will eat from the floor, they will eat from the forest, they will eat from anywhere, but they will not beg. Now we came to the mentality that begging comes first, no problem. Please, akhi, wallah, if you can help me, if you can help me, if you can help me. Try to change the mentality. You can't change your situation. If you're poor, you're poor. You can't change your situation. That's in the hands of Allah. But you can try to be someone whose mindset and mentality is, I want to be someone who gives. I don't want to be someone who is taking, because the hand that gives is better than the hand that receives. And we have another principle in sadaqah, which is وَبْدَأْ بِمَنْ تَعُولُ. Begin with your family, your relatives. Now this brings us to an interesting question, which is the combination between sadaqah and relatives. So the first thing is, if the sadaqah is sadaqah tatawwur, voluntary sadaqah, there is no restriction. You can give it to any relative you want. Because we said that voluntary sadaqah you can give to a rich person or a poor person. It's better to give it to a poor person, but there's nothing haram if you give your voluntary sadaqah to a rich person. What about the zakah? There is a people you can't give zakah to. And that is where the scholars, they talk about wujub and nafaqah. who are the people that you have to spend on? For example, go on. Your mom and dad, for example. Your mom and dad, you as a grown adult, it is wajib upon you to spend upon your mom and dad. So there is no zakah from you to your mom and dad. Because the zakah here, it conflicts with what? With nafaqatun wajibah. With a spending that you have to spend. But what about your brother and sister? You can give zakah. Because there is no nafaqa wajibah between brother and sister. There's no wajib that you that Allah said you must spend upon your brother and sister. So therefore you can give zakah to them. And so on. Your children, you have to spend on them, right? So they say that for that reason you can't give them zakah. There are exceptions though. There are times when you could give your parents or your children zakah. For example, if they have a debt which is too high that for them to pay. Is it obligatory for a child to pay his father's debt? No, right? It's not wajib upon a child to pay his father's debt. His father comes, he says, son, I did a business and I got myself in debt, £20,000. You have to pay it. They say, no, you don't have to pay it. So now zakah becomes permissible because there is no nafaqa wajibah for that situation, okay? So whenever there is obligatory spending, there is no zakah. Whenever there is obligatory spending, there is no zakah. As for sadaqah, yes, sadaqah you can give however you wish. What's the reward? Is it more rewarding to give sadaqah to your family or to give it outside? To your family, if they are needy. So if your family are needy, then you combine two things. Yeah, you combined between silatul rahim, keeping your ties with your family, and between, for example, feeding the poor person or a sadaqah, you combine between the two. And they have two rights over you. They have the right of the miskeen and the right of the qareeb, the family member. So charity starts where? At home. This is based upon the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, wabda biman ta'ul. Begin with your family members, meaning those who are needy. Those who are needy. Not just those who are needy, even the nafaqah you spend upon your children is a kind of sadaqah. What you put in your wife's mouth is a kind of sadaqah, ultimately. So ultimately, you giving sadaqah to your family members in every way, you start there. And it's important, again, min fiqh as-sadaqat, from the fiqh of giving sadaqah, we often send our money abroad. That's fine, but just make sure that there isn't somebody next to you who needs it, right? Like subhanAllah, someone's neighbor maybe doesn't have food and they're sending all of their sadaqat abroad. Just be careful that you checked that your neighbors, your people near you, your family members around you, and then also your family members living abroad and so on. So you have to have a bit of understanding with your sadaqah to get the most out of it. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, وَخَيْرُ الصَّدَقَةِ مَا كَانَ عَنْ ظَهْرِ غِنَى. The best sadaqah is the one that you give when you are comfortable, like wealthy. When you are comfortable. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't like hardship for you. Allah Azza wa Jal, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرُ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرُ. So a person who gives charity from what that is easy for them. Do we have an ayah like this? There's an ayah like this. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ قُلِ الْعَفْوِ. They ask you, what shall we spend in charity? Say, the leftover wealth that you have. Al-afw, the extra wealth that you have. So generally, this is a very good, there's nothing wrong with giving sadaqah when you have nothing. If you have nothing, you give sadaqah, it's amazing. But the habit should be what? When you have a little bit extra, give sadaqah from the extra that you have. So it doesn't impact what? It doesn't impact your obligations. It doesn't impact your family, it doesn't impact your wife, it doesn't impact your children. You have a little bit extra, give from the extra you have. This brings us to an interesting topic. Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, when he gave all of his wealth. You remember the story, Umar and Abu Bakr, they came and Umar said, today I'm going to overcome Abu Bakr, and he gave half of his wealth. And then Abu Bakr came with all of his wealth. And the Prophet ﷺ asked him, what have you left for your family? And he said, أَبْقَيْتُ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. I left for them Allah and His Messenger. What's the ruling on this? The ulama, they say that this is only for the person who knows they can bear it. It's only for the person who knows they can manage it. It's not easy, because many people, subhanAllah, he might give all of his wealth and tomorrow he's begging from the people. A person who knows they can handle it is different. But even half of your wealth you should not give if you fear the outcome of that is going to be you're going to be begging from the people. Abu Bakr knew that he could have sabr. And who has sabr like Abu Bakr? Nobody after the prophets and the messengers has sabr like Abu Bakr had sabr. That's why the ulama, they say this is not for everyone to give all of your wealth. This is not for everyone. Because it's not easy for a person to do that and then not beg, not ask, not be in trouble, not have problems spending on the family and so on. وَمَنْ يَسْتَعْفِفْ يُعِفَّهُ اللَّهُ. Whoever abstains from asking, refrains from asking, Allah will make it that they don't need anybody. SubhanAllah, look at that. If you don't ask people, Allah will make you a person that doesn't need anybody. And we said this is a theme that comes so many times in Islam, again and again and again. That don't be in the habit of asking. If you need to ask, wallah, it happens sometimes. But don't make it your habit. Make to be someone that leave what you have, keep with what you have, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it that you don't need anybody. وَمَنْ يَسْتَغْنِي يُغْنِهِ اللَّهِ. And whoever is happy with what Allah has given him, Allah will make him rich. Allah will make him content with what he has. There is a dua for this. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa' wa qalbin la yakhsha wa du'ain la yusma' wa nafsin la tashba'. You ask Allah to keep you safe from a soul that's not satisfied. You see, some people are never satisfied. Allah, like they have everything and they say, I want double. Then they get that and they say, I want more. And they say, if only I had a bit more, I would. If you can train yourself to be satisfied with what you have, Allah will make it that you are completely content and you are ghani. You become ghani, you become rich. Doesn't mean necessarily rich like wealth, but you'll become someone who has ghina nafs. Your soul will become rich. You don't feel like you're always craving what is in the hands of other people, like jealousy. وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. That jealousy, where does it come from? It comes from you craving what is in the hands of other people. If I had his car, I wish I could have his house. I wish I have his house, and secretly you wish that he gets kicked out and you can move in instead. Yeah, this is hasad. وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. It's the evil of the jealous person. A person who says, wallah, what I have, I'm happy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you wealthy, and Allah azza wa jal will make you that you don't have that jealousy and feeling towards other people. So this hadith is a very, very comprehensive hadith. Very comprehensive hadith, which has many benefits on the topic of voluntary charity. Next week, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to continue the topic of voluntary charity. And inshallah, we're going to be looking at maybe another few, maybe we try to finish the different chapter on the voluntary charity before we come to قسم الصدقات. How do we divide up the charity? Now we collected charity. I've got charity in a box. big box of money, zakat. How do I now give the charity out to people? Who do I give it to? And who do I keep it from? So we're going to, inshallah, look at that one. But next week we have more topics on the more hadith on the topic of voluntary charity. Just quickly while we finish up, you had a couple of questions on that. Yeah, if a woman's parents are in debt and the debt is something that she wouldn't normally be expected to pay. The girl, she would not be normally able to pay. She can pay it from her zakah, because it's not from the things that is obligatory for her to pay for her mom and dad. So she can pay it from the zakah. Okay, carry on. I forgot, to be honest, to look into that question about zakah over PayPal, because PayPal take a percentage of the fee. I forgot to look into it. Okay. I think we can stop there, inshallah ta'ala, because now we'll get ready for Salat al-Isha. Oh, you had a question, yes. There are different, some types of jealousy which are permissible in the Sharia. But we have to first understand what the haram jealousy, what is the dabit of it? What is the precise way of measuring the jealousy which is haram? So the jealousy which is haram, what it's measured by really is that you wish for zawal al-ni'mah, for that person to lose the blessing they have. That's the essence of it, really. Jealousy is that you wish for the other person to lose what they have. Anytime you wish for the other person to lose what they have, this is haram. Whatever it is in, ilm, sadaqah, whatever chapter it's in, if your goal and your dream is for that person to lose what they have, this is forbidden. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned two types of hasad that a person can have. The first is a person who has knowledge and they use it to benefit the people and teach people. You can have hasad, but does that hasad mean you want them to lose their knowledge? No, it means that, oh Allah, I wish I had the knowledge this person has so I can teach people. But I don't wish for them to lose what they have. And the second is a person who has wealth and they spend it all the time for the sake of Allah. Do you want that person to lose their wealth? No, but you say, I wish I could have wealth like that so that I could. Otherwise, you're not allowed to say, I wish I could have. That's it, but you don't wish for those people to lose it. There is another kind as well, which is permissible as long as it doesn't go over the limits of Allah, and that is al-ghira, the jealousy that a person has for their wife, or that the wife has towards her husband. I protective jealousy. The person, they don't want them to be like, they want to keep them protected. In that sense, you know, like for example, a man doesn't want his wife to go outside without the hijab, for example. But it can't go over the limits. An example of going over the limits is the example of the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, when one of the wives of the Prophet radiallahu anha, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she sent food on Aisha's day. And Aisha hit the plate and smashed it on the floor. She got upset. So she took the plate and she smashed the plate on the floor. And the Prophet ﷺ picked up the plate and put it together and he said, "Gharat ummuk, gharat ummuk." Your mother was jealous, your mother was jealous. Meaning that this is the permissible jealousy, but it went too far. It went too far. It was permissible, why? Because it was based on the fact that it's her night, it's her time. So when the other one sent food, yeah, it's not so nice for her. But to break the plate, that was past what she was allowed to do. Then the Prophet ﷺ took her plate and he made her give her plate to the one who sent the food to replace the broken one. She had to give the one that is not broken. So this is an example of, and for example, some of the scholars, they give example on the man's side. What about, for example, when a man becomes suspicious of his wife? So he has ghira for his wife, but it reached a level of suspicion where he starts to say, who are you on the phone to just now? Who was that? I heard a man's voice. Don't tell me it was this. And he's gone to the point of sort of van thinking bad of her and not looking at the situation fairly. She said, no, it was, look, you can phone, it's nothing. No, I know you're hiding it from me. And he starts to become, starts to go over the limit which Allah Azza wa Jal set for him. So these are examples of jealousy, which is permissible, but within the limits that are set by Allah Azza wa Jal. Yes, last one. We said you can't give zakat to parents, generally speaking, right? So, do we give zakat to someone who is not using it for halal reasons? No, we can't do that. We have to find a way around it. Like, give them the zakat, but give it in trust to someone else. We said about the example of gambling, right? You can't have a situation where this person is using that money for haram, clearly. But if you give it to them and they use it for haram, that's their sin, not your sin, right? But if you know it, like you know this person has a gambling problem, and then you go and give them, you know, £20,000 in zakah, that doesn't make sense, right? You have to find a way of doing that without putting them, increasing the haram. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Help people to do good, and don't help people to transgress and to sin. That's what Allah made easy for me to mention. Allah Azza wa Jalla's best. Salatu wa salam ala Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa yakum.
Jazakumullah khairan for watching. Please subscribe, share, and you can visit muhammadtim.com.